Hello, welcome to Terrace Talk. We are back. We've had a little bit of a winter break here at Argent Towers, but we are back and we've got some brilliant guests joining us to dissect the latest stuff inside the Norwich City bubble. Of course, we're going to be talking Liverpool as well as looking ahead to Wolverhampton Wanderers this Saturday. We're a little bit windswept because of Storm Dennis, but it hasn't stopped us in our tracks. The sun's shining a little bit more today, which is good news. Delighted to have Charlie Roberts and Jacob Robinson with me for this half an hour chat, everything Norwich City related, but of course we are going to start with, as we always like to do, the traditional quickfire questions. Jacob, I'm going to come to you first. We essentially want to find a bit more about you as a fan, so these shouldn't be too taxing, but I'll put on my best sort of Jeremy Paxman face and I'll give you the best grilling I can. So first and foremost, where do you sit in the ground?
Well, I used to sit in Wentham Corner when under the Lambert era. Yeah, it was a lovely little place there. But now I'm a bit of a seat surfer, so wherever I can get a ticket is where I sit.
Seat surfer, I like that. Like that. That should be in your Twitter bio.
That will
like
be, that. Mate.
Yeah. Who do you go to the football with?
Normally on my own or just with a mate. So if I can pick up a spare ticket, then great. If I can pick up two, then I'll ask a mate to come along and, yeah, wherever I go, whoever I go with. Really.
Is that the life of a seat surfer?
That is, yeah. I'll be in the bio as well.
What was your first game, your first Norwich game, that either you can remember going to or that you actually went to? I'll give you two answers.
The first one I can remember. So that was Preston at home. I think it was January 2006. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we lost 3-0. It was when David Nugent was quite good. Prime David Nugent. Yeah, it was a sign of things are coming away. A bit disappointing, but yeah.
Yeah, he loves a goal against Ipswich, David Nugent, so yes. He's a friend to us all, I think. Favourite game then? What's your favourite game watching Norwich City?
It's got to be Wembley, hasn't it? That atmosphere was incredible, you know, 35,000-odd Norwich fans and just such an easy victory in the end. Yeah, it was a wonderful day.
Did you prefer the final or the semi-final?
I did love the semi-final. I know so many people go to and from, but the final meant more in terms of just going up the whole day and then the celebration at the end, that really capped it for me.
Lovely. I'm going to ask you now for your favourite niche player. So not like your legends, your Grant Holtz, your Wes Hoolan, someone who perhaps just holds a special meaning to you.
So just for the song alone, Anthony McNamee. I don't know if you remember him, the winger. I'm not going to say the song because it will not be publishable. But yeah, it was, yeah, rapid winger. Good cross. Don't know where on earth he is now, but I think that's niche enough, isn't it?
Yeah, did he play in the Legends game? I think he did.
He did. He looked quite good, actually, compared to some of the other clearly retired players who were carrying a little bit of timber. But yeah, niche player for you.
Very niche. I like that. Anthony McNamee. Any pre-match rituals? Anything you abide by when you're surfing your seats? Is there anything that you have to do consistently on a match day to perhaps give Norwich City some luck?
Not too much, really, to be honest, to disappoint you slightly. The only thing that's always consistent is I'm nervous.
Right, well, we'll take it. Brilliant. Jacob, you can relax for the moment. That's your quickfire questions done. Charlie, we're going to come to you. Same set of questions. So whereabouts do you sit in the ground?
The Aviva stand, between the River End and the South Stand.
Very nice. Who do you go to football with?
My mum, just us two normally.
Very nice. What was your first game or the first game that you can remember?
I think it was when Norwich beat Blackpool 4-0 in the season where we went up via Wembley. Hooper and Redmond scored, I think.
Yeah, was that Redmond's free kick, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I remember it well. It was a brilliant free kick, actually. What about your favourite game that you've seen as a Norwich fan?
Probably Villa 2-1 last season.
Great shout.
Just great day, really, wasn't it?
Great shout indeed. What about your favourite niche player? Someone who isn't a legend but perhaps holds a special meaning to you?
I'm not sure if Redmond is a legend.
We'll let you have Redmond.
First player I got on the back of my shirt.
And he's doing great things for Southampton at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah. Nice to see him do well. Not many Norwich players do well after leaving Norwich recently.
It's a fair point. Hopefully we'll see him back in the England squad soon if he can pick up some form. He was certainly good last season. What about any pre-match rituals and anything that you abide to, or in your opinion gives Norwich City some luck?
Normally I have to wear the same tracksuit bottoms, but apart from that...
We'll take that. That's probably a better answer than being nervous, I think. Although I think we all do feel that. Right, let's go on to the football then. Of course, on Saturday, Norwich City got beaten 1-0 by Liverpool, which was a good performance in the end. Mane's 78th minute strike separated the sides. Charlie, let's come to you first. What did you make of the game? And I suppose, what did you make of Norwich City's performance? Are you quite proud of how they played on Saturday?
Yeah, I think not many teams have really held Liverpool out like that. After seeing the team, it was a bit nervous because Emi Buendia wasn't in the team, and I thought he could maybe give Norwich a little bit of outlet like Cantwell did, but it was good defensive performance, and it was beginning to look like we were going to get a draw until, it's Liverpool, so they're just going to have that moment of brilliance, aren't they?
Absolutely, and you touched upon it there, Emi Buendia. Were you surprised to see him on the bench? Because there are a lot of people calling for him to be included, particularly in this type of game. Were you surprised that he didn't play and that Farker did go with Lucas Rupp?
Yeah, I think Rupp played better against Newcastle, and Buendia came on and didn't really affect the game very much. So I think wasn't too shocked, but I would have liked Buendia in the team.
Yeah, what did you make of the Emi Buendia decision? Because he's an interesting player in the sense that everything in terms of the metrics that he produces and the quality of his attacking play, it almost seems like he should be in that Norwich City team regularly. Why do you think Daniel Farke decided against starting him against Liverpool?
Well, he did storm off against Newcastle, didn't he? Straight down the tunnel. Farke, well, you remember Oliveira when he celebrated against Fulham. Farker is boss, and he does like to show that sometimes. I think from a tactical point of view, obviously the fullbacks of Liverpool get so high, Robertson and Alexander-Arnold, and Emi is known for straying from position. Like Charlie said, he is our best creator, but yeah, he does like to stray from position. Rupp's been very solid since he's come in, to be fair to him, and for 400k it's an absolute bargain. Not sure he's a winger or an attacking midfielder, but he does add that discipline, and to be fair, Robertson didn't really create too much, and that was because Rupp was helping out Aarons.
Yeah, I'd agree, and you've almost segued beautifully there into the next point, which I know you're itching to talk about. Emi Buendia, of course, came on fairly late. It was a late substitution, wasn't it? Pretty much as soon as Mane put the ball in the net, we saw him and Dermot come on. What have you made of that argument that some people are making about late substitutions?
I think it's completely justified, isn't it, really? You did an article yourself, which was very good, mate.
I'm actually trying to find the statistics now. They're in this notebook.
Well, I was about to ask you, actually, and put you on the point. but yeah, obviously, a lot of the substitutions have been late. And like the one that sticks out for me in my mind, when we were losing 2-1 to Tottenham, Marco Stiepermann, 93rd minute, completely pointless, wastes our own time, and then gives away a free kick. I think that summarises the substitutions this season, really.
Yeah, I've got the numbers in front of me. Thanks for filling. Yeah, brilliant. So, I did a piece on this the other day about late substitutions. So this is before the Liverpool game, so the numbers will have altered slightly. But prior to the Liverpool game, Norwich had made 69 substitutions in total. 39 of those had come after 80 minutes, which is 57%, and 47 in the last 15 minutes. So that's 68% of the total substitutions made by Daniel Farke had been in the last 15 minutes. Charlie, what do you make about the substitutions argument? Do you feel he is making substitutions a little bit too late?
Yeah, I think, adding on to his point, players like Stiepermann and Buendia can't really affect the game, or especially Stiepermann can't really affect the game unless they have probably 15 minutes. But bringing players like Dermot on late on, I don't have a problem with that, really.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. What did you make about the way Norwich approached the game? It was more, I mean, we saw how they played at Anfield on the opening night, and they did get a lot of credit for that, although got beaten 4-1. This was similar to the Manchester City template, wasn't it, in terms of how they played and how they tried to almost counter-attack Liverpool?
Yeah, I think it did work effectively. We caught them out on a few occasions with Rupp. We're not getting a shot off, but he had a chance, and Pukki shot straight into Alisson. So we did have chances, and we did limit Liverpool to, well, they had player chances, but not goal-scoring chances where you think they were really going to score. So it did work.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I've compiled some numbers. I've got nothing to compare it to, but it was 126 minutes that Norwich went. If you combine the period they went in at Anfield without conceding, and obviously this game as well, 126 minutes without conceding against a team that will be the Premier League champions, that will possibly break records. I don't know how that compares to other teams. I'm sure other people will let us know, but that is quite an impressive statistic, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like we were saying before off camera, 25 wins from 26 games to keep them out for that amount of period is over a whole game, isn't it? And yeah, it is impressive. It's just it was a copy and paste from the Manchester City kind of game plan, wasn't it? And it worked well. I thought Hanley was superb, to be honest with you. Firmino is a big player in terms of drifting in and out of position, and I thought him and Zimmerman, although I thought Zimmerman was quite sloppy in possession, marshalled him fairly well until obviously the goal, unfortunately. I thought all in all it was a defensively solid performance and something we could take on to Wolves.
It was interesting because we know how Daniel Farke likes to play. His teams like to play with the ball. He wants his teams to play with the ball. He wants his teams to be the protagonists, as he say. They conceded 63% of possession to Liverpool, so they did have to adapt, but that was probably him showing a bit more of a pragmatic side that we have seen on a few occasions.
Well, yeah, you've got to when the bigger teams, inverted commas, come to Carroll Road. They are just better in possession, aren't they? And like you were saying, the game plan just worked well enough. It was the only way we were ever going to beat them, to be honest, or get the best opportunity for a point.
Do you feel Norwich deserved a draw from the game?
Yeah, with the defending, with Grant Hanley and Zimmerman, it does feel a bit unfair on Norwich that we haven't got the draw, but becoming a bit of a regular occurrence in the Norwich season.
Yeah, it certainly is, and that's the thing, isn't it? When you play a top side with the quality that Liverpool have, you know they're going to create that one opportunity, and it's about ensuring, as we saw with Tim Krul's save in the second half, which was excellent, wasn't it? But it's about limiting as many of those opportunities as possible. But in the end, when you've got a substitution like Sadio Mane to bring on, that's quite something, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, especially with Sadio Mane up against the tiring Aarons is like. Mane is good at the best of the times, so let alone against tiring defenders.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Let's talk a little bit then about Grant Hanley, because he's obviously come back from injury. He's had a fair few knockbacks in his Norwich City career, I think that's fair to say, although he was voted second for player of the season, wasn't he, behind James Maddison a couple of seasons ago. He looks a completely different player, doesn't he, Jacob?
Well, yeah, start of the season obviously was Bambi on ice, was a poor player, but later we found out he had a groin injury, didn't he? He's come back December, I believe it was, Wolves, and has been a rock solid. I think he was really unlucky against Bournemouth to be dropped out, and then obviously Godfrey decided that challenge was necessary against Wilson, came back in, and again it's been solid as a rock for me. He's been the best centre-back of the season.
Yeah, I think he's almost shifted Daniel Farke's argument, because I remember before that Bournemouth game he essentially came out in his press conference, sat in front of us and said, look, if Ben Godfrey's fit, then the likelihood is he plays as one of the two. Shifts in a couple of weeks later when Godfrey's back from his suspension, Hanley's been playing well, played very well at Newcastle again, and suddenly Godfrey finds himself on the bench. That's a testament to Hanley and his form, isn't it? Because since he's come back, he has been probably Norwich's best central defensive option.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like you said, Godfrey is first choice more often than not, and I know he has really kind of been out for 5 weeks, hasn't he, and with the injury and the suspension, but yeah, he's really done well in possession as well for me. That's always been a sticking point for me when I've watched him. He's always looked clumsy on the ball, and that's why Daniel Farke probably hasn't trusted him either. But again, he really didn't give away too many balls sloppily. That was more Zimmerman against the Liverpool game, really.
Yeah. So the dilemma is an interesting one now, because obviously we've got Godfrey back in, you've got Grant Hanley, and you've got Christoph Zimmerman. What would be your defensive pairing as we look ahead to Wolves?
I think I'd still keep it with Hanley and Zimmerman, because they have formed quite a solid partnership. Because some of the teams we've played against, I think we have improved on our defensive record really recently. So I think it'd be unfair to drop either of them. And
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the last two games, don't you? What, 0-0 at St James's Park, which okay is perhaps not what Norwich need in the situation they're in, but to go to a place like that and get a point is very good. To only concede one goal against champions like Liverpool as well, that goes. Go to show that despite all of Norwich City's flaws, they have proved defensively, as you alluded to.
Yeah, and you said the 0-0 at Newcastle, we did have chances as well then, and the distribution from mainly Hanley, as already been said, has been pretty good, and in Farke's team the distribution is as probably important as the actual defending itself. So with Grant Hanley showing that, I don't think you can drop him.
If you were to, I'm putting a hypothetical question to you now, but if you were to drop, you say Godfrey has to come back in, and you had to choose between Zimmerman and Hanley at this moment in time, which one do you think you'd drop out?
Probably Zimmerman, because of his performance against Liverpool. Grant Hanley was much better, and over Zimmerman has improved, because he was a bit shaky to start with when he first came back, but he has improved. But I think Hanley's still better currently.
Interesting. Do you agree with that? Zimman, would if you had to choose one to drop out to replace Godfrey, would it be Zimman?
Yeah, I completely agree with Charlie. I think he's every point there was spot on. I would love to see Norwich three centre halves, two wing backs. Mm-hmm. That's a different story, a whole different conversation, and it hasn't been possible really this season. But yeah, if I had to choose, it would be Godfrey for Zimman.
Yeah, I get the feeling, and it is just my feeling, that perhaps if they would have had a few more defensive options, had Tim Closer not been ruled out for the season, then perhaps we would have seen a three at the back a bit sooner. How do you reflect on the Liverpool performance as a whole then? Because even though Norwich did get beaten and they did play well, it's that classic situation where they played well enough to get something out of a game and didn't. Do you reflect on it with pride or perhaps a little bit of frustration that they couldn't get a point from it?
No, definitely pride, I'd say. This one was, along with Manchester City on the last game, the free hit. I know that word or words aren't respected that much, but yeah, free hit for me. We get, in the first half, they had 0.33 expected goals. I think that's incredible for a team that's blown away most teams this season and has beat every team in the Premier League. So yeah, definitely for me, pride.
Yeah, I think, and I said it in my match day vlog this weekend, I think the biggest praise you can give to Norwich City is they made the game dull in that first half and limited Liverpool to very, very little indeed. Let's move on then. Let's talk about other matters. We've got a few more, but I think the first place to start is with that trip to Wolves. Charlie, you're heading to Molineux. What are you hoping to see from Norwich City? What improvement are you hoping to see?
Well, I'm looking forward to Lewis being back in the side. I think with Byram out, he impressed against Liverpool. We could cause them problems because Wolves do have a lot of bad days. They're evened out by their good days. So you can't really tell what Wolves is going to turn up. So,
and they've got a Europa League game on Thursday as well. So that could almost leave them a little bit leggy, I suppose, compared to Norwich, who've had a full week to recover.
Yeah, and they do have quite a thin squad. So they have one of the smallest squads in the Premier League, I think. So players like Adama Traore and Neto, who probably rely on pace, may not have that pace. So
yes, yeah, it's a good point. I think when I was looking, delving into Tiemu Pukki during the winter break, I've put it in inverted commas, I think it was only Raheem Sterling was the only attacker in the Premier League to play more minutes than Tiemu Pukki, but Raul Jimenez had played the equal amount, which is an incredible amount of football, really, considering. Adama Traore, he seems to be the Wolves player on everyone's lips at the moment. Jurgen Klopp's a big fan. There are a lot of pundits who are big fans. How highly do you rate him? Because he's been very impressive, hasn't he?
Yeah, he hasn't always shown it with Liverpool at Wolves, but he is really showing it now. He's from December. He's been faultless with strength against Man City, where I think he scored twice or once. Yeah, it's just on his day he can beat anyone in the Premier League, any defender.
So there's the tee up for the question I'm going to ask you, Jacob, which is how do you go about stopping Adama Traore?
I thought Sam Byram did quite a good job in the reverse fixture. Like Charlie said, obviously we've got Jamal Lewis. He's very athletic. For me, you can't stop him in terms of if he beats you, then you're screwed, basically. you give him enough space, put him on his left foot, very right-footed, and he is prone to an overhit cross. Yes, he has improved massively, and formerly he was just pace, wasn't he? But in terms of stopping him, I think Jurgen Klopp said itself, it's actually impossible if he's fully in the mood.
Yeah, I think when he gets going, and it's difficult for me to sort of go back into this mindset, but you just have to kick him, don't you? I think he's one of those players, unfortunately. Strength, power, pace, he's got it all. And Jamal Lewis is certainly going to be in for an afternoon of it, I think, at Molineux on Sunday. I think for me, I'd probably try and cut off the supply line. I think that's probably the best way to stop him, although easier said than done. Looking back through history, Norwich don't have a great record at Molineux. It's just one of those grounds they don't seem to do particularly well at. But they're going to need to, aren't they? They're going to need to get a result, and probably they're in a position now where they probably need 3 points if we are to even think about using the words great escape.
Yeah, it's an opportunity as well, like you said. You've got Espanyol on Thursday at home, so it really could be decisive in terms of what they're looking at. And then obviously the following Thursday, they've got them away, haven't they? Like Charlie said, they have got quite a thin squad, so there won't be too much rotation. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, obviously Traore is a big threat, but Moutinho and Neves, one of them's dropped, because they're the main hub in terms of the supply line, like you said. I do feel slightly optimistic. If we play like we did against Liverpool, keep it solid and counter effectively, hopefully Lucas Rupp doesn't have brain freeze again, then potentially we have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to ask a question to both of you now. We'll start with you, Jacob. Emi Buendia, would you bring him back in for this game? And if so, where would you fit him into that 11?
I would definitely put him back in. He created one chance as soon as he came on, and we're going to need that against Wolves. It's harsh on Lucas Rupp. I think he does have to come out for me. Yeah, I would say Lucas Rupp for Emi Buendia.
What about you, Charlie? Buendia back in your lineup at Molineux?
Yeah, I think he has to. I think he has more of ability to beat his man, and with probably some tired legs for the Wolves team, that would be... Maybe he could... That would be a good... I think he'd be better than Rupp to create chances.
Yeah, I think that's going to be key, isn't it? And we have seen a general improvement, I think, from Norwich since probably early December in terms of their defensive play. They have, though, struggled on the road a little bit. One win in the Premier League this season, Everton away. How do they go about making sure they get 3 points from this game? Because in terms of the overall survival picture, it does feel quite crucial now. It feels like they're in a period of games with Wolves, Leicester, Sheffield United, where they're probably going to need a couple of wins out of those three if we are to be talking about some little miracle, I suppose, as Daniel Farke puts it.
Yeah, I do think we need to play on the break, just sit back and let them throw everything at us and use Cantwell's pace to get them on the break, because if you are playing like we did play against Liverpool away, then players like Traore just going to rip through our defence and could be a bad afternoon.
Yeah, let's hope not. And equally, another statistic that I saw before the weekend, Jacob, said that Norwich are the only team in the Premier League not to pick up a point after going behind. How do they, I suppose when they go behind, how do they impact games more? Because the emphasis then comes on them to create and to score goals. Given that last season this was such a free-flowing, attacking side, why has that been a problem this year, do you think?
Well, I think belief, to start off with, recently it has been anyway. You know, once you go behind, it does feel, here we go again. Last season for me in the Championship, we just had better fitness. So we outworked teams, and eventually it told, like you said, so many late winners. This year, the step up in terms of athleticism in the Premier League is just massive, isn't it? So Norwich match teams, and we just keep giving teams chances. We did last season as well. It was just overshadowed by the amount of goals we did score. So, and chances, let's be honest. Teemu Pukki, since the Leicester game, where he did pick up that bruised toe, broken toe, whatever you want to call it, the injury hasn't been the same. And when he's not firing, Norwich look a different team.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with that. Right, to wrap up Wolves, we're going to ask you both your prediction, then we're going to go into a little bit of FA Cup chat. So let's start with you, Charlie. How are you feeling as we sit here on what, Tuesday afternoon? Are you feeling confident that Norwich can get a result?
Not particularly. I'll go for a positive 1-1.
Positive 1-1, we'll take that. Jacob, what about you?
I'm hoping for a lethargic Wolves, so I'm going to say 2-1 Norwich.
Lovely, love that. So that is Liverpool done, Wolves done. Let's talk about the FA Cup then, because it kind of feels like a narrative that's going on away from the league, which is probably quite a nice bit of relief at the moment, considering Norwich City's position. 9,000 tickets have been sold, complete sellout for that Tottenham away end. Jacob, you're heading there. It's going to be quite the occasion, isn't it? Were you at the Emirates first and foremost when Norwich had that big allocation there?
I wasn't, no, but I did see it and it was incredible, wasn't it? 9,000 is going to be fantastic. It's a great stadium and hopefully the atmosphere matches that. And we've got a chance just recently before we came on air. Heung-min Son is injured, obviously Harry Kane injured, so there's optimism there.
Yeah, I'm hoping if I bring my boots, I might end up up front for Tottenham, the way their strikers are going. No, it's very true. What does it say about the supporters then? Because you mentioned it off air, but before we started, the reception the players got on Saturday after their effort was tremendous. Daniel Farke got serenaded by the Barclay. It was brilliant to see. 9,000 tickets then shifted for an FA Cup fifth round tie. What does it say about these supporters? Because it's been a difficult season, hasn't it?
Well, you came on our podcast, didn't you, Canary Cast? So I am going to plug.
Since you're on here, I'll let you do it.
After the Manchester United game, you came on, didn't you, and said how good the crowd was, and that was after a heavy defeat. This club has always been well-supported. League One, we had sellouts, for example. They believe in this team, and if the team and the players are given everything, which they are, which they did against Liverpool, the supporters will follow wherever we go.
Yeah, I actually thought Jurgen Klopp summed it up quite nicely in his press conference, Charlie. He said that although they're bottom of the league, they seem like they're in a good moment at the minute. And that's quite an interesting thing to say. Do you get the feeling that even though Norwich are bottom of the league, the mood amongst supporters, particularly how they connect with this team, is actually quite positive?
Yeah, because you have got pundits who are saying Norwich are the best bottom place sides I've ever seen. And by the way, Webber's saying that this was just a free hit of a season and that they're building for a future where hopefully they will stay in the Premier League. I think the fans have got behind that, and well, they, of course they'll mind if we get relegated, but it won't be as bad as maybe if we'd have got relegated under Alex Neil with maybe not Stuart Webber there.
Yeah, and we saw that certainly in the turnover of players last time they went down. The FA Cup, given Norwich's, well, how they're doing in the Premier League, which isn't great at the moment. They're sitting bottom of the league. The likelihood is it looks like they're heading back to the Championship, although they've got, 12, 13 games left to save their season, essentially. How much priority do you put on the FA Cup? How big is it now? Is this a competition that Norwich City should really go and try and do as well as they can in, or is it something that you see as perhaps a bit of a hindrance to the Premier League?
Yeah, it is nice to have a break from the Premier League because maybe we've got more chance of getting a result with Tottenham, because Tottenham have struggled against the smaller sides. They only just got past Villa a few days ago, and they might rest a few players because they're looking unlikely to get to the Champions League. So, and it's also a chance to play some players that maybe deserve to get a game that aren't, like Drimic. He's been playing well recently, so I think it's a good opportunity for them to prove themselves, so they'll be hungry, so I think they will do better.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't really associate an FA Cup run with Norwich City, to be honest. They've never really done well in it, particularly in my lifetime. They've, of course, had the semi-finals of the past, haven't they, and whatnot, but never, of course, never won the competition. No replays in this round, Jacob. It will go to extra time and penalties. Is that something that will help Norwich perhaps more than Tottenham?
Yeah, definitely. In terms of the game itself, like Jai said, potentially Spurs could rest players. Leipzig are in between a few, yeah. So Champions League is probably their priority, but they do need to win a trophy under Mourinho. So it will be interesting, like we said previously, key players out. It will help Norwich in terms of one game, one hit, really, isn't it? And Norwich do normally turn up for a one-hit wonder, obviously Wembley all those years ago. Like you said, FA Cup. I think all of our lifetimes together, we've never seen past the third round since 2012, was it? So it's a massive opportunity. We've got to look at it in terms of it's a game where we've got 9,000 of our supporters. I hope those players are roared on by that and give the best performance they can.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I was kind of, when I was watching the Southampton Spurs replay, I was kind of in two minds, thinking actually I think Southampton might be the tougher draw for Norwich because of the way they played that game. But then on the flip side of that, Tottenham rather are going to want to win a trophy. I think Mourinho would take great personal joy if he's the one to deliver a trophy in half a season when Pochettino failed to in about five. But there you go. It's going to be a great occasion in less than a fortnight now, isn't it? So I'm looking forward to that. Let's finally then quickly get your thoughts on this possible great escape. Charlie, let's start with you. Is it possible? Do you think they can do it? Are they going to do it?
The fixtures that are coming up, like you already alluded to, Sheffield United, Wolves, Leicester, are all games that Norwich were favourites to lose. But after that, we've got a few games that we could win. I don't think we'll do it, though, still.
Six wins, that's what Daniel Farker has targeted. Is that possible?
I don't even know if that will be enough, to be honest with you, in terms of our point percentage. Have got winnable games. All I hope is that we keep it competitive. We don't go out like a whimper. We haven't done a Huddersfield yet. And you look how they are doing now. You need to kind of keep some momentum if you can. Have got winnable home games, but with Norwich, it's more likely that they will drop points there. For me, I can't see three teams that are going to be finishing below Norwich, unfortunately.
Well, unless Man City go down, which is a wider point, isn't it? Anyway, guys, thank you very, very much for joining me. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure you leave a like, subscribe as well to The Pink and on all the relevant platforms. There'll be links to these guys as well in the description. Thank you very much for watching Terrace Talk. We are hoping to be back next week. And of course, if ever you want to get in touch in the show or you'd like to appear, then all the relevant information will be you'll be able to find it somewhere, I'm sure. There you go. Just get in touch with us. There we go. So guys, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you again soon.